Psalms 119, and that is the Lord revealing himself as the Alpha Omega, the leaf and top in the Hebrew. And we finished that up last week. And in times past, well, I won't go there. We'll go to Romans. We're going to start off at Romans.
And Brother David, can I commend you on such a wonderful, I mean, we got a lot of insight from you. It was it was really, really good. And you know, sometimes we look at David's life and say, a man after God's, a man that really loved the Lord, how could he have messed up a little bit in his life? But we have to think about, he had to look to the hills from which comes his help. We don't have to look to the hills. We can just look on the inside of us. He didn't have the Holy Spirit operating on the inside of him, but he accomplished so much with what he had. We don't have to, I hear people praying, I look to the hill from which comes the help. We don't have to do that. See, he had to say that because the Holy Spirit wasn't given there.
Exactly.
So we don't have to say, hey, I look to the hill from which comes
the help.
We can just look on the inside.
Yes, sir.
The help is on the inside, the greater one.
Amen.
Like I said before, he doesn't believe in condo living. He's in there by himself. Nobody else, just us and him.
And Sister Deborah, you weren't here last week, but I want to say thank you for turning us on to this right here. This
Passion Translation.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. So if anybody has the Passion Translation, I'm gonna get you to read some.
Well, I have two in my car. In case someone doesn't have one.
We want to go to Romans chapter 11.
Who don't have one?
I don't.
Okay, he don't have one.
Check
if you want.
I'm going to go back the time with him. So how about somebody reading chapter 11, verse 15?
Romans 11, 15?
Yeah.
What did I say?
In the Passion.
Okay. Yeah. You don't have the Passion, brother.
I'll go get it out of my car. 11, 15?
Yeah. Yeah.
Whoever have a passion, read it. I have it. I can find it.
I can find it. Scott C. Okay, here we go. For if their temporary rejection released the reconciling power of grace into the world, what will happen when Israel is reinstated and reconciled to God? It will be unleashed. It will unleash resurrection power throughout the whole earth.
Okay.
Then Romans, there,
Paul's addressing and saying, you know, Israel's not being rejected. They're not thrown to the curb, you know.
Right.
By their unbelief, us Gentiles, we have been brought in for a temporary, for a time. Okay, let's turn over to verse 25.
Somebody read 25
through 27.
Anybody have 25 through 27?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, Apostle, and read it loud.
My brothers and sisters, I want to share with you a mystery concerning Israel's future. For understanding this mystery will keep you from thinking you already know everything. A partial and temporary hardening to the gospel has come over Israel, which will last until the full number of the non-Jews has come into God's family. And then God will bring all of Israel to salvation. The prophecy will be fulfilled that says, coming from Zion will be the Savior, and he will turn Jacob away from evil. For this is my covenant promise with them when I forgive their sins.
Okay. Let's remember that coming from Zion will be the Savior. Remember that. And we know we just finished up Revelation and the Tau, which was the last word in Revelation. I got to think about 22, you know, the last chapter of Revelation, verse 22, The Lord said three times, "Behold, I'm coming quickly. Behold, I'm coming quickly." Mm-hmm. And but within that too, he repeated and gave a revelation of himself. "I'm the beginning, the end, first, last." In other words, I'm the leaf and tall. And within that revelation, he says, "I'm coming," right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so we see about Israel here. And this 119, and I've talked about all throughout history. You can read the Psalms, 17, 48, 67, 91. All these Psalms relate to Israel and what's happened in their history. Mm-hmm. You know, said, I think 72 or 73, but 91, you know, when the war, when they're shooting those missiles over there, bam, bam, you know, nobody was killed from it. Okay, Psalms 119, he's revealing himself. Mm-hmm. Let's just say the rapture was to happen this year. Mm-hmm. Bam. Let's just say it. We're just throwing it out there. If it was to happen this year, and we know there's a 7-year tribulation, right? Mm-hmm. So let's count from 119.
Thank you.
And count 7 years. Mm-hmm. What would that be? That would be Psalms 126. Mm-hmm. So let's look at, I'm not saying the Lord's coming, I'm just kind of doing a scenario there. Let's look at Psalms 126. I'm going to read out of Passion here. It says, "It was like a dream come true when you freed us from our bondage and brought us back to Zion." Remember that there, Romans, we just read? Mm-hmm. "We laughed and overflowed with gladness. We were left shouting for joy and singing your praise. All of the nations saw it and joined in, saying, 'Lord has done great miracles for them.' Yes, he did mighty miracles and we're overjoyed. Now, Lord, do it again. Restore us to our former glory." That's talking about Israel. "May streams of refreshing flow over us until our dry hearts are drenched again. Those who sow in tears will reap a harvest with joyful shouts." Anybody just got a regular standard version that want to read from their home? After, say, from verse 6 on, 126 and 6 on.
Are you saying King James Version?
Yes, ma'am. That'd be fine.
Okay, anybody have it?
Well, I got New American Standard.
That'd be fine.
Okay. "He who goes to and fro weeping, carrying his bag of seed, shall indeed come again with a shout of joy, bringing his sheaves with him." And that's revival.
Bringing the sheaves. Y'all remember that old song? Bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves. What was that? You know, if we'd stand up and sing out there, they have church and boo, what is that? But the sheaves are the wheat harvest.
Yeah.
They would bundle the wheat harvest together in bundles, and it would make sheaves. Now I'll show you something. 7 years after, we talk about this, what if, a scenario. But you remember there in the book of Revelation, after Jesus revealed himself as the Alpha and Omega, three times in the first chapter, he began to speak to the churches. Right? Well, there are three harvests in the scriptures.
Yeah.
The first is the barley harvest, and that represents the overcomers, you know. And all, you know, to all seven churches, the Lord spoke to them as overcomers.
Yeah.
Right? The barley harvest.
Yeah.
They're going up there. Okay. And then the wheat harvest, which was, we talked 7 years later, bringing in the sheaves. They shall come rejoice, or we're going to be, you know, we'll come back from heaven. Israel will be brought in, bringing in the sheaves. And I got to doing some study on the difference between the barley and the wheat. The barley, you throw it up in the air and the wind does this work.
Yeah.
You know, that's the work of the Holy Spirit working in our life, throwing away the chaff. But the wheat harvest is a little bit different. They do it with a tool. I forget the name of this tool. What was it? But it has to do with tribulation. The name of that tool is named after tribulation. So we see Israel going through their tribulation because they were blinded. Back to Romans, they've been blinded to the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Rapture of the church, bingo, we're out of here. And then 7 years of tribulation, the Lord comes back, saves Israel, and then what he says he'll do, he's going to save Israel. He's going to save from destruction. All of them enemies going to be right there on top of them, you know, ready to destroy them. The Lord destroys them, but the bright sun is coming. So, I'm not saying for years, I've looked and I missed it year after year after year after year. And I'm not saying the Lord's coming this year, but I'm saying there's a good opportunity, according to his word, that he could come later on in this year. Anyway, I want to present that to you. And this great harvest, you don't want to be a part of.
No, that's the grapes of wrath.
That's bad there. So we want to look towards this barley harvest that I think is very, very, very soon to come. Possible this year, later on this year. So I'm out of time. Miss Barry.
All right.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I like Brother David. He's always like John. He was always saying, come, Lord Jesus, come now, come quickly. I mean, you know, because he was seeing things in the spirit realm. And as he saw those things in the spirit realm, he was like, oh, come on, Lord, this looks good. Come on now, you know.
But what does
but
he mean?
But we know before God comes back here for us, he's going to come to us in such a glorious way. The church is not going out here not looking glorious. He said, I'm coming back for a glorious church. When we leave here, the world going to know, we've been here. Because we're going out in glory.
Yes.
We're going out as a glorious church. Y'all might as well get ready. I know the enemy gets you to looking at the church ain't this and the church ain't that. But God says, hey, I'm not worried, because I done prayed for this church to be a glorious church. So it will be what he said it will be.
And we don't need to speak condemnation on the church either. We don't need to speak condemnation on the church either. I had to repent of that. The church has done this and the church is not doing that. I had to repent of that. We need to speak blessings, because we don't know what spirit we're of if we start condemning.
It's not good to condemn, because God didn't come into this world to condemn it, because it was already condemned.
Yes, ma'am. Ain't that something?
Like a raggedy house.
If you know it's condemned, you don't need to come in and condemn. It's already condemned. But he came, praise God, that we can be.
Say one more.
To beautify his bride.
Making that door to front. You know, 119, we finished up 119. But now the Passion Translation, I want to read you the last thing. You know, we talked about Israel. He said, I'm one of those. He said, but the last words he spoke was, come after me, for I am your beloved. You know, and the church is the beloved of God. And the church was crying out, come.
Big time.
Come.
I listened to a preaching from Joseph Prince, and he was talking about why not Aaron, what were the two guys, those two spies that went into the land? They were the only two that were alive.
Joshua
and Caleb. He calls them Caleb. Joshua and Caleb.
Yeah, it's the correct pronunciation of. He's doing the correct pronunciation of. Yeah. But see, I don't want to pronounce it that way, because y'all be wondering what in the world is she talking about.
Well, I want to say it like Joshua and Caleb.
It says in the scripture that they survived because they followed after God fully.
Fully.
Mm-hmm. So if you want a long, he was just talking about, if you want a long life, a long prosperous life, where you're 80 and you're saying, give me the hill with the giants on it, because I'm going to kick some butt. Follow after God fully. I tell him I want to be that prophet that outran the chariot. Mm-hmm. At 80, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Elijah.
I want to be the one that they say.
That is good. That is good.
He said, you followed after, because they followed after me fully.
Yes, mm-hmm. they did. Mm-hmm. And it also said that they was of a different spirit.
That's the other thing he said. Thank you for reminding
me. They were a different spirit.
Oh, yeah.
They were God's spirit. They were of God's spirit. Praise God. Good morning, Presta. Good morning, First Seekers. Praise God. I'm glad that you're here this morning, because I tell you, God is doing some great things for us and through us. Now, last week, we're going to revisit what we taught on last week. Can anybody tell me what we taught on last week? What? Okay, say it a little loud. Say it with some punch.
Love.
Love, love. Y'all are people of God. Say it with some punch.
Love.
Okay, I taught on love. You know, love in the natural world, love in this natural world is so watered down.
Yeah.
I mean, people tell you, I love ice cream. I love this. I love that. And they even tell you, I love you. You know, people are constantly telling you, I love you, and you do one thing wrong, I don't love you anymore. I have fallen out of love. So the word love is used so loosely in our cultural. Until when we put it in a spiritual aspect, people still try to use it loosely. The love of God cannot be used loosely. It's a strong force. It's a supernatural force. And we can't use it like the world. The church sometimes trying to use it like the world used it. But we can't do that. Now, I'm not going to go back and review everything we talked about last week. But I am going back to our backdrop scripture, which was Romans 5:5. And it says, the love of God had been shed in our heart by the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I praise God for that love that been shed in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Because the Lord Jesus give us some really, sometimes you may think difficult things, he tells us that we're commanded to love. In John 13:34, he said, a new commandment I give you. Y'all don't have to turn to that, because I got a lot of scriptures that I want to give you. John 13:34, he said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another.
Yeah.
Not like you love yourself. See, that was the old commandment. Love one another like you love yourself. This one, he said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Boy, that makes a lot of changes there, don't it?
Yeah.
Higher. Woo, that's a higher love.
Higher.
Much higher. To love me as you love yourself. Sometimes people don't love themselves like, and I don't want them loving me like that. But that's all they could do right then. Now, the reason he's changing these commandments, because he is getting ready to go to the cross, and he's going to send the Holy Ghost, and Romans 5:5 is going to be produced in a people where the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. He has given us the love to do what he has commanded us to do. You can't say, well, I don't have love for that. I can't love. You don't know what she did to me. I can't love her. But the love of God
has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, the God kind of love. That love that went to Calvary. Yeah. That love that saved you. That love that make an intercession for you today. That kind of love. That love that never stopped loving. Yeah. When you hear people say, I don't love her anymore, they didn't have that love that was shed abroad in our hearts.
Yes, ma'am.
Now see, this love is shed abroad in our hearts, but it's not shed abroad in our heads and in our mind, and that's where we have the conflict at. But today my subject is put on love. We've been asked to put on love. Transform that mind so it can cooperate with what been shed abroad in your heart. That you can operate in that love that's been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. But if you don't put on love, this morning you're putting on love. I'm just telling you, if you're sitting in this class today, you're putting on love.
Yeah.
Because I'm teaching you about love. That is how we put on love. We put it on through the Word of God, through studying the Word. Not just reading it, but getting down there, studying it, and letting it transform our minds and our hearts. Because it's been shed abroad in our hearts, but not in our mind. So when you are in your circumstances, in your everyday situation, and you have to operate in that love, sometimes you want to get in your flesh yourself and say, I'm not loving her. She did me wrong. Or she said something about me. Or she did something, you know. But if you would transform that mind and put on love. See, putting on love is your responsibility. The Holy Ghost done did his. He have shed it abroad in your heart. Now you are responsible for coming to a class like this so you can hear the Word of God to tell you how to put it on. Because if you live in this world, baby, you're going to need some of that kind of love.
Amen.
That love will bring you into the victory that you want, the victory part of life that you want. Sister Deborah.
Whenever I want to judge, I don't know if this happens to you, but God plays a movie, my life,
mm-hmm.
and it ain't PG. He's just reminding me, baby, you've come a long way, so you don't need to be pointing fingers, because whatever that person has done to you, you've done far worse. So he plays a little movie. It's like a movie, and it's ugly.
It's. They always tell me when you point one, three more point back at you.
Yeah, that's true.
Uh-huh. And that's good, Sister Deborah. We all can check our heart. All of us need to increase in our love walk. All of us need to put on that love. It's not one sitting in here don't need to dress up in that love. Put it on. That is your responsibility. The Holy Spirit responsibility was getting it in your heart and sharing it abroad. Shedding abroad in your heart, that means that he's putting it down there in abundance. I mean, you'll never run out. There never will be a situation when you say, I don't have enough. I mean, he put it there in abundance. For you to have fellowship with the Almighty, and not only that, but for you to get it on the outside. And operate like he did. He didn't keep his love on the inside. He said, for God so loved the world. He put it out there. He went to Calvary. That's the same love that the Holy Spirit has shed abroad in your heart. But where I'm trying to get you today, you must cooperate with the Holy Spirit. And you put on love. Put it on. study love, speak love, be love. Love is so important. it's very essential for this day.
And transforming. It will transform your life.
That's the word, Sister Deborah.
Your life and anybody else, because it'll splash over and change the lives of people when they're seeing it on you. Because, you know, I have a friend, he was a Christian, but he didn't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And he came and he says, well, how do you and my friend Lanitra, how do y'all keep praying and you get answers like that? What is it? What is it?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So, Pastor, I took him to church, and Pastor Webb's wife, Phyllis, was preaching that day. And baptism of the Holy Spirit. His whole life has changed. His kids that were living together are now married. Mm-hmm. I mean, his whole life changed. So now he is just, he constantly says, how do people live without it?
Amen.
Because he didn't know the difference. But I'm saying, if you're walking and people are seeing the results of your life, they will come to you and say, well, okay, now, how do you do that?
Yeah, yeah.
How do you, can you pray for me? I see you get your prayers answered. Can you pray for me? So we should be, it should be spilling out of us to the point.
Pouring out.
Want
Amen.
Whatever it is you got.
That's good. That's
without,
good.
Without love, faith does not work.
No, it doesn't.
You know, and actually that's what the world is looking for, love. But they're looking for it all in the wrong places.
Yes,
I mean, you see them doing this and doing that, trying to get love. But God has provided us with this love. You know, I'm going to refer back to what we said last week about these two prophets. They had an encounter with God himself. One of the prophets, he said, God asked them, what are they doing with the love that's been shed abroad in their heart? See, it's been shed abroad in your heart, but you got to do something with it. And the next prophet that had an encounter with God, he said, he thought God was going to boom, just tell him something really big. And God asked him, did you learn to love?
Amen.
And he went, huh?
There was one that took that one talent and hid it.
He said, you know, he thought God was going, you know, the encounter that he was having, he thought, whoa, you know. And he asked him, did you learn to love? So he said, wow, love is very important. That love is supreme in this walk of life. Because that's how God identifies himself. Say, God is love. And that's how we ought to be able to identify ourselves in our everyday life, in our home, in our full surrounding, and especially to one another. That new commandment he gave, he said that you love one another. Not no more as yourself, but as I have loved. Because they saw the demonstration of Jesus' love. My time is up, but I've certainly been enjoying sitting in this chair talking about love. Go ahead, Sister Deborah.
I said just 5 more minutes.
I can't. I'm already over. And, you know, I'm going to get out my chair because... See, I want to teach next Sunday. When I go over like that and way over, I don't get a chance to teach next Sunday. I have to give my Sunday up. And I'm not doing that. I want to teach every Sunday.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So I'm going to close it out right here. But we will be back next Sunday. And we may still be teaching on love. Because love is, I mean, we just need to get that back operating in our life like God wanted to. He shed it abroad in our hearts, but he wants us to do something with that love. He wants us to get it out. But if you don't put on love, if you don't transform that mind, when it when that love is trying to come up, when the Holy Spirit is trying to bring it out, you're going to block it. You're going to say, no, I'm doing it my way. I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. I'm not going, and who wants your mind? You don't even want it.
Amen.
But you want that transformed mind so you can want your mind.